This is Donnie Jackson, editor of IWC's Urgent Communications, and today I'm speaking with Ryan Gerhardt and Chris Gutman-McCabe of Anterix. Guys, thanks for taking the time to talk with us.
Hey Donnie, thank you.
Thank you.
So Anterix worked for years, longer than you all may have wanted, with the FCC to get permission to transition LMR radio frequencies to broadband spectrum that can support LTE-based applications, and in particular for utilities. Ryan, why is that important to utilities at this particular time?
Hey, Donnie, thank you again. I can't think of a better way to describe it than transformational in terms of what we're seeing is the opportunity and the potential impact that a private broadband, you know, LTE network can have for these utilities that we're assisting through the evolution of their journey towards private LTE. And big picture is really because, you know, when you look at the applications and the environmental impacts that we're seeing, the digitization of the grid is really upon us. And, you know, all the applications, the devices, the sensors, the necessity for command and control and visibility of the entire operating characteristic of the grid drives, you know, really the adoption of all these different devices and, you know, and uses that can help the utility operators really better manage and improve on the reliability and the resiliency, the security, and just the overall modernization of the grid. I've also heard it described as the Swiss Army knife, you know, of a telecommunications platform, which I think is an intriguing way to think about it, that for the first time, the utility has access to something that's truly a platform that can support not just the devices and applications today, but can really be the basis of innovation that they can continue to drive and influence a growing ecosystem of use cases into the future.
Okay, and you mentioned Swiss Army knife. I mean, so different utilities are prioritizing different applications, is that right?
That's absolutely right. You know, that's what's so powerful about it, that its use can be customized, you know, to the specific needs and urgencies that each individual utility have, but it delivers similar value to all of them and that they can support all of those applications and more as they start really looking towards their future and facing some of the modern challenges around clean energy adoption or improving resiliency for cybersecurity. It's really endless in terms of what the opportunities are for them to leverage this capability.
Okay. Well, one of the challenges to any kind of private network is paying for the thing. Chris, I know there's been a lot of effort from this administration to enhance broadband, frankly, across the board throughout the country. I'm just wondering, are there opportunities here for utilities to take some of that money and maybe help fund these next generation networks to support smart grid?
Yeah, certainly, Donnie, and thank you as well. You know, I'm gonna steal Ryan's word, transformational. What we saw out of the bipartisan infrastructure legislation is a transformational opportunity to upgrade our nation's infrastructure, and we're excited that the definition of the infrastructure included the electric grid. So there are a number of programs within the bipartisan legislation, including what the Department of Energy has called the GRIP programs, the Grid Resilience and Innovation Partnership programs. And those are focused on issues like grid flexibility and grid resilience. You know, there are terms in there that just align with exactly the use cases that Ryan mentioned. When you talk about resilience and wildfire mitigation, you know, there are capabilities that Anterix with our partners are investigating about de-energizing a broken line before it hits the ground. That type of capability is specifically mentioned in the bipartisan infrastructure legislation. When you talk about cybersecurity and decarbonization and distributed energy and electrification of the sectors, all of those capabilities, all of those goals are mentioned in the bipartisan legislation, as are words like, you know, data analytics and secure communications and wireless broadband. Those are all mentioned in the Department of Energy, in the electric sector side of the legislation. So there absolutely are opportunities to take what amounts to tens of billions, aggregating up to, you know, $150 billion for things like private wireless, private secure wireless networks.
Okay, and you've mentioned cybersecurity. So this can be used for software as well as the hardware side of a network. And frankly, more and more of these networks are software oriented.
Yes, certainly. I mean, when you look at the goals that are identified in the legislation and in these GRIP programs, it is truly about security, resilience, reliability, redundancy, decarbonization. I mean, it's all of the issues that the the sector is facing, the electric sector is facing, and cybersecurity is certainly embedded within elements of the bipartisan infrastructure legislation.
Okay, so how can someone go about applying it? And is this open to both private utilities and publicly owned, municipally owned utilities?
So absolutely. All manners and versions of electric grid operators, distribution, transmission, municipal, co-op, investor-owned utilities, they all have opportunities to, as do states and public utility commissions. So it's complicated, but it's something we've been tracking. I'm happy to say, had a significant hand in some of the language that ended up in the bipartisan legislation. But there are absolute opportunities. We expect the Department of Energy to open up a funding opportunity sometime before the end of the year, perhaps this month. And it is the funding is broken into 5-year tranches. And so we expect that the first will be a 2-year, 2022 and 2023 opportunities. But then there'll be ones for 24, 5, and 6. And we anticipate that utilities, large and small, are certainly considering and will very likely participate in those funding opportunities.
Okay. Wow. It sounds like a great way to do it without directly hitting the ratepayers.
And there's a way. I know Ryan experienced this during the last time American Recovery and Reinvestment Act days. It acted as an accelerant, right, Ryan? I mean, it's something that can really put a pop into the deployment of new capabilities.
By the way, I know one of the things you guys have talked about in the past is, maybe building a private infrastructure, but helping leverage that, whether it's just a tower or whatever, and being able to, is there any actually, are there any strings attached to this that say, hey, you can only use it for this particular purpose and you can't leverage any of the assets that you create for, helping,
digital
divide and all that other stuff?
Yeah, we don't, not only do we not see those limitations, Donnie, there's actually a section on the broadband side called Middle Mile that specifically is earmarked for entities like utilities that will deploy those private wireless and wired fiber capabilities and make them available to internet service providers. So, and we do again anticipate that some utilities will take advantage of that, large and small.
Okay, cool. We talked about this particular funding opportunity with the bipartisan legislation. Ryan, what are you guys doing at Anterix in general? And by the way, congratulations on your latest announcement.
Thank you, Don. Yeah, we couldn't be more excited. As you said, we've been at this for a while, but we're passionate about what I would describe as the movement that we're really seeing underway, across the industry. So we're working actively with 60 plus, of the largest utilities in the nation, who are all in their own way, and as I said earlier, to their own use cases, really exploring the value proposition that a private LTE broadband network can mean for them. Frankly, by many measures, as we look at, the progress that we're making, footprint size, territory, states, counties, we feel pretty positively that, we're really leading this evolution towards private wireless broadband adoption and are excited about it. As you said, we recently announced, our latest agreement for our spectrum access with Xcel Energy. That's actually number 4, of the nation's IOUs who are going down this path. We're additionally working with about 16 other already, just under the context of experimental licenses, where utilities get a good, kind of hands-on experience about what exactly it means to deploy a private LTE network and the impacts that it can have to their operating use cases. But beyond that, clearly, you can't do this alone. You know, this is a large ecosystem. You know, it's necessary to be able to support this. And you were continuing to develop on, you know, an ecosystem that we launched a little over a year ago called the Anterix Active Ecosystem Program. Excited to say it's now with over 80, you know, of the leading technology solution and service vendors that are proactively supporting private LTE adoption around 900 megahertz. And, you know, it's with their support that utilities are really to see all of the components come together necessary to make sure this is a successful outcome from them. Supporting that organization, we formed the Utility Strategic Advisory Board, which has been just a fantastic ability to connect with the nation's utility CIOs and executives who can help garner their intelligence and vision about the role of broadband and how we can help influence the path of the ecosystem. And supporting us there are executives from Ameren, Dominion Energy, Evergy, Exelon, Southern Link, and we have collaboration with the Utility Broadband Alliance, you know, who brings together a whole bunch of the other nation's utilities focused on broadband. And just finally on that, you know, we've been continuing to work on our support of our Anterix Active platform, which was an initiative we launched earlier in the summer with the identification of some opportunities to help streamline the process the utilities are going through with the adoption of private broadband. Announcing our first offering called Catalyx, which is really focused on helping utilities with the integration and management of the SIM technologies, the SIMs themselves, and driving public to private roaming, which is a capability that increases the reliability and resiliency of a utility owned and operated network. So that's just a small sampling, Donnie. There's lots of exciting stuff going on. You know, when we really feel like the whole industry as a whole is at a real tipping point in terms of the adoption of broadband and the recognition of just how critically important this is as we continue to drive clean energy transition, enhance the reliability and resiliency to the unfortunately ever more often, you know, happening storms, cybersecurity, all kinds of things that are mission critical for us, even as consumers.
You mentioned the ecosystem, and you know, certainly you guys, your spectrum is in the United States. I'm just wondering, are you hearing anything from other countries, and are they looking to do something similar? Because that expansion of the ecosystem, you know, throughout, you know, a global ecosystem, especially in the world of wireless, a global ecosystem versus even a country as big as the United States, it tends to attract vendors an awful lot more if there's a worldwide opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and as you said, I mean, our spectrum, you know, our holdings are obviously in the United States. And so domestically, our focus is there. I'll say this from a utility industry perspective, the development and the opportunity for LTE-based networks and utilities is a global thing. You know, and so that I've been tracking, carrying out, you know, across many different countries around the world. And that's been going on actually for quite some time. You know, where there's been different access to different spectrum bands to be able to start some of that journey. In fact, in some places around the world, I would actually argue they're probably even a little bit more advanced than what we are, you know, in terms of adoption here of really leaning on, you know, LTE and private LTE networks.
All right. Well, very cool. Well, congratulations to you guys at Anterix for all the stuff you've done. And please keep in touch and let us know how things are going with the bipartisan infrastructure bill.
Thank you, Donnie.
Thank you, Donnie.
Appreciate it.